So we just had all kinds of little games. If we go swimming in the creek, had a big swimming pool with a hole, we had to walk 3 miles to get to it, but it was worth it, man. You could jump in there, and there was a swinging bridge went across to the church. It was at the creek. So we'd swim a while, and then get tired, and we'd lay in the sun on that swimming bridge. And there was an apple tree there. It had old sour apples on it, and we'd eat them and think it was good. Sometimes you'd get a stomachache. But we spent many hours on that creek bank. But we had to get all the chores done before we was allowed to go. So we'd spend the whole afternoon there and go traipsing back home in time for supper. And this one time, me and my sister was going up on the hill, and my brother, 5 years younger than me, he wanted to come, and he was too little. We didn't think he could go, so we was up the hill about 200 feet, and he was crying and wanting to come, and we started rolling rocks at him. Little rocks rolling down off the hill, and it didn't seem to scare him much. And then I rolled this one, oh, I suppose it was about 6 inches in diameter, and it really got on edge and was going down the hill just fine, and hit this woven wire fence and jumped way up in the air down the yard and hit him right above the eye. Cut his eye down, knocked him out, and boy, I thought I'd killed him. So we went flying down the hill, and of course my mom heard him holler, and she was out there before I got there. So we grabbed him up, and the doctors lived down the road about 3 miles, so we didn't have no car there, nothing. So the neighbor took him and my mom to the doctor, and they sewed him up. He was all right. Didn't have any ill effects of it, but he still has his car, Denver, Brother Denver, and he wears glasses. I don't know where that, and he's blind in that one eye almost. He can't, don't see very good out of it. Don't know whether that's what done it or not. Probably did.
So you had one peg, you say? That's all you had?
Well, yeah, until we got farther along. After we got enough money ahead, we bought a cow. And then we had a cow and could have milk. And we always raised a pig, or two pigs, and butchered them. You know, to have fresh hams, meat, bacon. And then when we got the cow, we was living high off the hogs. But we never did have a big farm.
What about your grandma and grandpa's? They lived with you?
No, they lived over in Dodgers County in Big Ivy. And we'd usually get to go see them once or twice a year. In the summer, we usually, me and my younger brother, Denver, we'd go over and stay a week with him. And that was really good until the evening came along and the old cow started coming down off the hill with the bell and dingling. And it was just about to get dark and we'd get homesick, kind of. Because we was never away from home any on his end. But I remember my grandma gave us a dime, and she said we could go to the store and buy what we wanted with it. So we done it. It was about two mile up to the store, between two and three, and we done had knew what we wanted. We wanted a little box of campfire marshmallows, so we went to the store and we got picked them up there and laid the dime down, and that storekeeper said, "Well, I've got to have a penny, and it cost 10 cents and a penny tax." So of course, we didn't have no penny. So we had to set them back down and go back down to Grandma's and ask her for a penny to take back up and give that man for tax. So that will show you how hard up everybody was. He wouldn't even give us a penny. And we still, my younger brother, he is 5 years younger than me, he still remembers that as plain as I do. That the stingiest man he ever seen.
Moonshining. Did that do any of that?
No, he didn't do any of that, but there was some done around in the hill back of us. There's a guy up there. He made moonshine, and you could see the people going up, riding on a horse, going up to get him a quart jar out of it. We didn't go in for that kind of stuff. I guess they made a lot of money out of it, but it must have been pretty high flammable because his house burnt down. I'd say that's what was feeding the flames.
What about ginseng? Tell me a little bit about ginseng.
Well, I didn't know anything about it when I was a kid like that. But later on in life, after I got to working for the gas company, I got acquainted with it, walking the line, and there'd be people come out that I had to go with. It was inspecting my wells and stuff, and one guy, he got ginseng all the time, so I'd go along with him, and he'd dig it up and take it home and sell it. So I decided I was going to learn to do that. So he found a nice one, and I'd carry it around in my hand and go around and look at it. So I found something that looked like it. So I got to, I knew ginseng when I seen it, and it's really a lot of fun to hunt. It's just as good a sport as squirrels or deer or anything, after you know what you're after. And back then, it wasn't too expensive. Of course, you thought you was getting a good price for it if you got $60 a pound or $20 a pound. But now you get up to $300 a pound. The last I sold, I think I got $150 a pound. And that was 5 years ago. I'd saved it from when I was working retired. I just did a little bit every year, but I sold it several times. I sold 3 pound ones for $58 a pound, and I thought I was really getting rich with it.
But how was it? How was it?
Oh, ginseng. Well, it's a little plant. And it has 3 prongs, or 4 prongs, or 5 prongs of leaves on top of it. And when it's a blooming, it has a little pod of berries on it, and it's really red. And when it's ready to hunt, the leaves start turning yellow, and then the berries are red, and it really shows up. And it has a root. Sometimes it goes down pretty deep in the ground, but they look like old men, old wrinkled up men and stuff in China. They use a lot of, you know, they raise it there, and it looks like an old wrinkled up Chinaman. Some of them are shaped like old men, and they make medicine out of it. They say you can just chew it, and it makes you feel strong. Help your sex drive, they say, but I don't know anything about that.
root.
To have roots, yeah. That's what you sell, just the root. Depend on the top of it, you can tell what the root's going to look like, because the four prong, if it's got four prongs on top, it'll have four prongs on the root, and the bottom. And each year, when the stalk dies off, it leaves a little scar on there, and next year, when it comes back up, the stem just keeps getting longer and longer, and it'll have a little scar for each year it is old. And I dug line that was a five prong, and I could count 56 years on it. It had 56 scars, and it's been there that long. And it takes them, when the berries drop off, the birds will eat them, and then they'll scatter them, and that's what you can sow to all over the hills, is the birds scatter them. And you're not allowed to dig them on a certain time of year now. They put a limit on it, and you can only start only about 2 months that you can dig them. It used to be you start digging as soon as it comes through the ground, but it's getting scarce, so they're trying to get it so you won't dig it all up. And if you dig the little two prongs, they're not enough to, the root's not big enough to pay anyway. When it dries, there's nothing left of it, because they really wrinkle up when they dry.
Now, you said you're going to make moonshine, but yet he did make his own alcohol.
He made his own beer, homebrew, they call it. He made that.
How did he do it?
He took he had to have a can of malt and some yeast, and he would take a big 6 or 10 gallon stone jar, and you'd put a can of malt and your yeast and about 5 pounds of sugar in it. Some people put potatoes or wheat or oats or something like that a little bit, and you put 5 gallon water and you put it in this jar. And you'd cover it over with a rag so bugs wouldn't get in it. And you'd leave it set for about 3 days, depending on what the temperature was. It needed to be about 70 degrees or something so it would work. And then when it worked off, you would put it in bottles and cap it up. But it had to quit working, or if you put it in the bottle too soon, it would blow up. After it would keep working in there and build up the pressure and break the bottle. And my dad, I've seen him make it within from one night to the next night. He would set it one night if there was going to be a dance. Dance hall down at Hearst. He'd come home that evening and he'd set that jar for home brew, and he'd set it, open the oven door and light the fire in the oven and set that jar on the door, and it would be that burning all night and all the next day. And the next evening when he'd come home, it would be worked off, and he'd bottle it up and take a bunch of it to the dance with him. And me, my older brother, and one of his friends, they decided they would make some. So they set a batch of it and put raisins in it. And then when they got the bottle in it, they they didn't think about straining the raisins out, so they just in a little pan and poured it in these bottles and bottled it. And then when you drank it, you had to kind of strain the raisins through your teeth because it was full of raisins. But I remember one time my dad had a bunch of homebrew, and we would pump a pan full of water.